It's the editing challenge, and this time we'll be seeing how Kristen's doing with her submission. Can she splice her way to victory? Find out on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. This time, we're checking in on Kristen for her entry in the editing challenge. Because of the Stick Figure Squad's win in the last challenge, she and Bobby both got coaching from Eric Dow, a producer, director, and editor who's worked on the documentary Honor in the Valley of Tears, as well as editing reality shows like House Hunters International and Pawn Stars. We'll listen in on his coaching session with Kristen, as well as her session with Tom Merritt. But first, I got to sit down with her and discuss the challenge. Let's listen. I'm here with Kristen, former Stick Figure Squad member and now solo competitor. Congratulations on making it this far.
Thank you. I'm very excited.
Yeah, you're doing great. And I think, it's certainly apparent the chemistry that you and Bobby had over the last few weeks in the different shows that you guys were doing. Plus, you guys, Bobby reminded me earlier that he's been working with you since day one. Like, you, the two of you have always been on a team together. And so congrats on having the person you've podcasted with just slightly less than Gabriel.
Working with Bobby was great. He really knows his stuff. He's really got the mindset for it. And just like the judges says, he's really got the voice for it. If I were to make a critique, it would be that he overthinks. So I would be worried that I would wheel him back and be like, okay, let's go with this pathway. Let's go on this and see where this takes us. So I think any duo has the strengths and weaknesses to play off of each other. And I definitely think Bobby and I had that chemistry as far as like what we knew was our strengths to play, use to our advantage for sure.
Right. Well, good. Well, that's exactly what, you know, a collaborative podcast team does. You know, that's the kind of stuff that they all do for each other, and yeah, you got to worry about that when you're solo like you are now. That you don't have that sounding board for your ideas or somebody to, like you said, reel you back in. Just whack my microphone, which is, you know, something a solo podcaster does all the time. So how are you feeling about we talked a little bit after the recording on Monday about editing and being familiar with the tools. You're brand new, but you're going to get your hands on somebody's editing software to do this, right?
Yes. I've got some ideas as far as what I'm going to use, and a little trial by fire never hurt me. So I'm going to jump right in and see what I can do. And if nothing else, if it doesn't pass muster on Monday, then I'm not ashamed of going out, because at least I went in there and did my best.
Well, let's not lose the competition before Monday. You actually might even have an advantage in this, in that you haven't developed habits that you can't get out of with editing. You know, all three of the other contestants have done some editing, even in this competition. You're coming this blind, so you're actually going to get fresh eyes on how the editing can go. And that might be, that, who knows, that actually might turn into an advantage for you.
And I've definitely seen some of the editing, obviously working with Gabe prior to this. I've seen some of the editing, and it does seem, I do photo editing. So it's just, it's very similar. Instead of layering with a photo, you're just layering with audio tracks.
Exactly.
So the concept, the basic concept is definitely not lost on me, but I'm just a little, I'm nervous, but I'm going to see what I can do. And like you said, it could be an advantage.
Sure. Yeah. The thing to think about is that crossfading is your anti-aliasing. So you're not just cutting out that beach towel shape and putting it on the sand. You're cutting the area around it to kind of fade out and blend so that there's not a sharp edge between the sand and the beach towel.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Are you, you've listened to the audio. I know Gabriel mentioned that the two of you listened to it through a couple times. What do you think? Did you hear all the traps that we put in there for you? Or,
Well, I actually am a fan of Jawin and, Ashley. I've been a big geek history, fan for a long time. So I knew that they were professionals, and it was definitely one of those like, okay, this is a little far fetched. So going in and being like, okay. And then just the first couple of times that I heard some of the follies, I was like, groaning just because I was like, all these bumps and hiccups are going to be hard for me, but sure. we'll see what works.
You'll muddle through. You'll be able to get through. And I think you also have the advantage of being familiar with the content. I don't know how much the other contestants know about Geek History Lesson and Jason and Ashley. So I think you've got a bit of an advantage there as well.
I have a little bit of their cadence down, or nice. At least a cadence of what they sound like on a good day.
Very good. Well, good. Well, use that to your advantage. And I can't wait to I'll listen in on your call with Tom, and we'll see where things are at on the other side.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks. Let's listen in on their coaching session with Tom Merritt.
Kristen, congratulations on getting all this way.
Yay! Thank you.
I'm just going to say it. You are the happiest person of the four that I've said that to.
Oh.
Uh-huh. I think you have the most enthusiasm and confidence. I like that.
All right. Sounds good.
How are you feeling about the How are you feeling about the editing obstacle course?
As Brian could attest to yesterday, not good. I being the one that was with Gabe in our regular podcast, our weekly podcast, he does all the editing because it was his place that we were recording it at and everything. Right. So I have zero goose egg experience with editing. So I am trial by fire.
What do you use for editing?
I'm going to be attempting to use Audacity.
Ah, very audacious and can totally do. Don't, you know, people trash Audacity and they have real good reasons to do it because it is limited and it's clunky, but it can do everything you need to do. So just keep that in mind. Have you figured out an approach to the show?
I think there's two things that I'm thinking, but it's always, I think I need a couple more re-listens to see if I can do it. I kind of wanted to go meta with it and like old school Disney goofy cartoons of this is what you don't do for these types of things. And I was thinking of it that way, like, but it's hard to think of how an episode would exist in a series if I did that. The other way was I really like some of Ashley's commentary on just being a female subject matter expert.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking maybe doing something along those lines of focusing in on what she said and maybe explaining kind of the back details behind it.
Gotcha.
Haven't narrowed anything down yet.
Well, the first one is a good example of like trying to come up with an idea that is a contest winner, not just a good idea. Like I get where you're going with that. It's almost like a best week ever, even kind of way of approaching it. It is the riskiest one though. And right. And if you're not quite understanding how you're gonna make it all hang together, that's the thing you would have to figure out to make that work is like, well, you know, what's the through line that makes people understand why they have tuned into this podcast? But that could be really fun if you figure that out. On the other hand, the female subject matter expert, you cannot go wrong. Yeah, you will win Jenny over, right? I'm sure you won't lose any points with Justin and Scott either. So, I mean, that feels like a safer route to go, but not so safe that it's not a good idea at this stage, right? It's just a matter of if you want to focus in on an issue that's kind of weighty or if you want to have fun.
Right. And I think I would try to weigh in on the heavier topic just because obviously learning, using all of the judging previously given as far as make sure you go deeper, you know, make sure you're committing to the bit, make sure you're giving everything weight, when especially with an interview, like when we did Ptolemy. I just would want to, I just don't know if I'm biting off more than I can feasibly chew, just as being a complete noob at the whole experience.
Well, that would be a good reason to go with the female subject matter, because all you have to do there are find the intelligible bites and then build your narrative around them. Like you say, kind of explain the background to the, you know, set up the question, play Ashley's answer or Jason's answer in some cases, I'm sure. And then give the extended commentary that adds to what she's saying. That's going to make your editing job a whole lot easier than if you have to come up with fun sound effects and transitions and things like that, which would be the trickier edit. I think you can do a really straight ahead edit of like, pull this clip, copy it from one Audacity window to the other, and then have your recordings in on top of that. Do you feel comfortable about the non-technical part of it, about the process of identifying clips and logging and all of that?
A little bit. I know from when we did the science interview with Bobby, and basically kind of going through and transcribing everything, even with our episode that we did with Ptolemy, also transcribing everything so that you have an idea of, okay, time here to time here is the chunk I want to use. And then basically taking that and meeting with the coach yesterday and finding out, you know, there's a word for it, Frankenbiting, and understanding mm-hmm. what that means and making that work to my benefit.
Yeah, I think, okay, so if you feel pretty good about that, that's not a bad way to approach this, is just go in and start logging the bites that you want to pull out. Okay. Like, oh, that's a really good piece. That's a really good piece. And then arrange a script that says, okay, I want to get from this bite to this bite to this bite, and write in the things that you want to do. And then really, I mean, one trick in Audacity that I've used is just to go in and record my bite, start a new track, record the next bite, start a new track, record the next bite. Then you can just slide those over. And you, like I said, you go to your other Audacity window that has the original interview. You find your in and out points. You command C, control C over to the new window and pop them right in where you need them.
Okay.
Does any of that make sense?
I'm sure I will learn by fire.
It's really that kind of editing that I'm talking about is kind of called cuts only editing, where you're not doing like weird transitions and effects and stuff. And it's okay. Not that much different than copying paste text in a Word document. You know, you copy a big block and then you paste it where you want it.
Okay.
So that
sounds simple, less intimidating.
It does. There's always something that you're like, wait a minute, why isn't it working that way? Do you have somebody you can ask about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody who won't undermine you because they're also in the competition.
Well, no, but
or at least that you trust, so won't undermine you because they're also.
I'm pretty good at figuring those kinds of things out.
Good, good. Okay.
My work does a lot of it too, as far as
fantastic. How to do great, instructions great. And stuff. Well, good then. I mean, I feel like you might. I don't know. You tell me. Which way are you leaning here?
Oh, I have no idea.
Not that you have to make a decision right now.
I think I will probably go more with the girl aspect of it. I think I can pull more on my own personal compelling story for that than trying to make a how not to do an interview, since I'm still kind of an amateur myself. I might miss something or misquote something. So I think if I go with more personal opinion style, it's less likely to burn me.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, and bringing in your own experiences to it is going to help the non-editing parts, the parts where you're writing your content. Just make sure that you keep them real tight. Make sure that you do your best not to sound like you're reading. Try to imagine you saying this for the first time to someone. Keep a smile on your face. Make it sound dynamic, because you want those to pop as well as Ashley. You don't want it to be too different. energy levels, right?
Okay.
And then make sure that you've got a nice tight narrative that makes sense from beginning to end, and people understand why they're there. I guess that's the last thing that you'll have to figure out when you write that is like, what's the pitch? You know, is it just female subject matter experts, and do you have a clever name for that you can come up with, that sort of thing?
Right. Okay.
But yeah, I think that's a good way to go. I think you'll stand out. You'll be taking something out of the interview that plays into your strengths, which is good.
Okay. What would be your best advice as far as editing in like sound effects and stuff like that? Just keep it real simple.
Yeah, if you're doing a serious thing like this, it's not bad to put a little bit of music bed under parts of it. You don't want it to go under the whole thing or it's too much, but like maybe over the intro particularly, you can do little real tiny subtle things for transitions. And when you toss to Ashley's bit, you could do a little whoosh or a little ding or something like that. There's lots of examples of people doing that out there. Those are the kinds of garnishings that when they're not overdone really do help a podcast sound like it's more professional. They're not essential if you start to run into a situation where you're like, I don't know if this is working. Always lean on not doing them if you're unsure. But yeah, you can definitely do stuff like that. It's good.
Hi, Eric. Thanks. As an editor, what's the best advice you can give for someone who would struggle to find similar passions in the subject that's been recorded or given to you?
Oh, good question. I struggle with that often. You know, getting paid helps.
So, I would imagine.
Yeah, I guess the best advice I could give you is you have to take your personal preferences out of it and look at it as a task that you have to do, and you need to make it the best you need to make it, because you're going to work on stuff in the professional world that you can't stand, that you can't stomach, that you hate. I've done it. I've quit jobs before. I've walked out in edits because the people were assholes. It just depends, but I wouldn't recommend that.
Right.
I would say check yourself if you want to do this as a profession, and you need to be able to work with people. And there's a lot of crazy people. There's a lot of people that don't know what they want. There's a lot of people that you're going to give something that you feel is really good, and they're going to tear apart, and then they're going to put it back together, and it's going to be basically what you did. And it's going to be really frustrating. So patience is key.
Okay. And what's kind of to piggyback on that, what's the mindset? What mindset is the best to have going into an already, you know, bad recording or a bad situation?
That you're going to fix it.
Okay.
You're going to save the day. You're going to be a superhero in the eyes of your client. That you are going to, you can only put lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig, right?
Right. But
that's what you have to do. You have to make it the best it possibly can be. For instance, a friend of mine who sent me a video of his dad on his deathbed and asked me to clean the audio up the best I could so he could put it in a Build-A-Bear for his son. Uh-huh. And it was terrible quality, but I did the best I could and it sounded a lot better and he was thrilled. That's not a professional example, but you know, I've done audiobooks that took, you know, something like, I don't know, 6, 8, 9, 10 hours. And you have to cut out all their mess ups. You have to go through it all and it's monotonous and you have to smooth it out and you have to make it seem like they didn't make any mistakes. So there are all kinds of different jobs. You just have to be prepared to wow.
Okay. How would you edit something without having with only having a few good chunks of stuff to work with? What are some of your go-to tricks of the trade?
Well, I would need to know more about the content.
Okay. Basically, it was a recorded podcast or recorded interview, and the interview has specific hiccups put through it to basically catch you up as an editor. So if you are going through it, there's no real good clarity as far as continuity of the interview. There's, you know, buzzing and cats and weird things happening. So what's your best, if you've only got a few good chunks of interview to work with?
Do you know what Frankenbiting is?
Frankenbiting, go for it.
Okay, so let's say I'm talking to you and I'm putting lots of pauses and I'm not terribly exciting to listen to and it's all of that kind of crap. And then in between the pauses, you're hearing a cat meow or a dog bark or whatever. Frankenbiting is taking all the air out of it and making that person sound a lot tighter and more succinct, like almost like I'm talking right now.
Okay.
So you're cutting air out. You're cutting ums out. You're cutting us out. Anything that you can to make it tighter will help. Also, you know, 2-frame audio fades. So it smooths the edits out. Sometimes you can make people say things that they didn't really say by taking words and putting them together. You can make somebody say something that they never intended to say. And it might not sound 100% natural, but you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Frankenbiting. I do it every day in my life on reality television.
Right.
I'll take the end of a sentence from one thought and put it at the end of a sentence of another thought. Words, buts, ands, ums, like anything to make it sound natural and tight and that you're going to keep your audience's attention.
What's your best tool of like breaking down how you listen to the chunks of interview or the chunks of recording first? Like, do you just basically transcript everything word to word, or do you just listen over and over again?
So I've done both. When I did my documentary, I had 60 hours of interview footage, no transcripts. And I would go through and listen to everything and make sequences for each question I asked. I asked everybody basically the same question.
Okay.
And I would put all those answers into one sequence, and then I would whittle that down from there. That's what you're doing. I mean, you're basically whittling. Transcripts are huge helps, especially if you have Avid and there's script sync in there, and you can literally click on a word and it will take you to that person in the video saying that word. So that's a huge, helpful, time-saving tool.
Okay.
I do it in my job. You know, I use transcripts and script sync to save lots of time to put the bare bones and skeleton of the interview bites down before I cover it all.
Okay.
But you really have to have a good sense of what your story is and figure out the best way to get there as quick as possible with it making sense.
And for somebody like you who does reality heavily, do you always know going in what the story is you're trying to tell? Do you find yourself listening to it and then going, okay, this is the story I want to tell?
Yeah. I mean, we're given an outline of the, you know, I work on House Hunters International. We're given an outline of the story of the couple. That's got way more information than we could ever include in 21 minutes and 40 seconds, right? So mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll talk about things that are way more interesting that were just, you know, asked on the fly. And sometimes we can make nuggets out of that. Other times it's pretty straightforward. You know, you have to go with your gut. You go with your gut and what you think is best. That's the best, you know, advice I once heard from Steven Spielberg in a documentary. Go with your gut, cut with your gut. And when in doubt, cut it out.
Okay. And then, I mean, as far as somebody just starting into editing, like I have very, very little experience with it because my co-host does most of it. But what kind of tools, like what's one thing that you wish you would have known? So like when you first started out.
Oh, wow. Something I would have known when I first started out. I learned on Final Cut Pro.
Okay.
And I was scared of Avid. Don't be scared. Learn them all. And know them all. You know, I need to be able to, I'm on Avid right now. I've been on Final Cut Pro. I've been on Final Cut X. I've been on Premiere. You need to know them in order to function. And I feel, honestly, I guess I learned by baptism by fire. Like,
I feel very similar.
Yeah, you just got to get into it. And you have to approach it like your livelihood depends on it. You know, you have to figure it out.
Okay. Yeah, I feel very similar to that currently, because the livelihood of me continuing is dependent on me being able to edit this less than stellar interview where I'm not sure I feel passionate about anything on it. So this is going to be great.
Go be the savior.
All right. I'm not going to ask another question because it's going to be time.
Well, I hope that was helpful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome.
Welcome back to Femme Fatales, where I, your host, Kristen Sobelfield, do a deep dive on industry-leading female subject matter experts. Wrapping up part four of Grown Up Geek Girls, we are going to listen to an interview done by Dr. Joe with Ashley Victoria Robinson. Ashley Victoria Robinson is most notably known for her role in YouTube series The Red Shirt Diaries, where she plays Low Man on the Totem Pole, Ensign Williams, a comical behind-the-scenes interpretation of the original Star Trek series from Ashley's perspective. Ashley's also known for her written work as well. It's been featured on comicbook.com, The Mary Sue, Screen Rant, and Crave Online, among many others. She hosts a number of review shows, including Geek History Lesson podcast that also features Jason Inman, whom you'll actually hear a bit from in the interview itself.
All right, this is Dr. Joe. I am here with Ashley Victoria Robinson. Ashley, is that all completely right?
That is.
Wonderful. And Jason Inman, who goes by Jawin?
Yeah, Jawin. That works.
Okay, excellent.
Close enough.
You guys, in getting ready to talk to you today, I spent a bunch of time listening to Geek History Lessons, and I want to say I really appreciate this, because much like a World War II veteran hearing people talk about the history of the 40s, I feel like what you're describing as a history was my contemporary times. So a lot of these ancient stories from the 90s and 2000s, that was my peak. That was my peak comic experience.
Ashley works hand-in-hand with Jason, as mentioned. They are co-hosts together, and their chemistry is very akin to my own flagship podcast, Grey Muzzle Geekery. I'll let a little bit of the interview explain more.
You guys collaborate a ton together. How did you guys start collaborating?
So my very first job in the United States and in Los Angeles, I worked at a comic book store that does not exist anymore called Blast Off in North Hollywood. And that is where I first met Jason Inman. And when you work in a comic book store, you can kind of profile people based on the types of books that they buy. Men of a certain age tend to buy certain comics. Women of a certain age tend to buy certain comics. You know, kids, so on and so forth. Jason made some really interesting comic book choices. So I said, hey, that guy's probably smart and interesting. And that's how we first met. I had an idea for a web series, and I posited it to Jason, and he said, great. And Jason was already working in YouTube and had a channel and had a great following there. And I said, could we put it on your channel? And he said, yeah, sure. And Jason came full of expertise, and his only requirement was that I, you know, wrote scripts or did a certain amount of work in order to balance out the amount of work that he was doing, he would be doing. It doesn't come anywhere near a fair balance. Jason wound up doing most of the work on the series that became The Red Shirt Diaries, but that was our first big creative collaboration. We did a couple other smaller things, and we'd been pitching and developing comics ever since then, but we're two people who have similar tastes who are often in the same spot. So I think it was an inevitability.
In traditional comic book fashion, Joe asks what if questions, wanting to know about personal retcons Ashley might use in her very own life.
And so we're going to what if your life. How about you first, Ashley?
Oh, that's like, there's two super easy things for me. First one is sad, but we'll do it anyway. What if my life, if it didn't happen, my father passed away when I was 16, and that was a big part of shaping who I am now and how I cope with things, both for good and for ill. I don't know what kind of person I would be if that hadn't happened. And then the other one is, when I was 20, I immigrated to the United States. So if I hadn't, I would literally be living an entirely different life. I would probably be trying to do kind of the same thing, but I'd still be back in Canada. And I certainly wouldn't have spent thousands of dollars on immigration fees. So, you know, that would have been nice.
I can really relate to Ashley choosing her father's passing as a fixed moment in time. I lost my dad about 6 years ago. It doesn't matter when in your life it happens. It really sticks with you and colors your world moving forward. Next up, Ashley really shows her ability to think up creative content with her choice of a gritty reboot. I think her selection really shows how much more we can do with a show once some significant time has passed.
Is there a gritty reboot of something you would like to see?
It's interesting because this is a discussion Jason and I like to have where what if we could buy franchises or something we would like to reboot? I think Xena is prime.
Whoa, good choice.
For a really, really incredible reboot. If the people who hold the Xena copyright want to call me, I have no money, but I'd love to try. And I think Lucy Lawless looks better than ever and is an incredible actress. And I think you could do some really cool stuff and include her in the show. And I think, you know, in the current world that we're in, we could do some real LGBTQIA plus storytelling that, you know, they just weren't able to do in the original. And, you know, Jason, I heard as I was coming in, was talking about Star Trek. And, you know, if Star Trek can say math is fucking cool, then maybe Xena can say that, like, I don't know, fighting is fucking cool. Like,
dresses are
fucking
cool.
Yeah, there you go. There's some real room for some fun stuff. And, you know, just recast all of the Amazons from the Wonder Woman movie. And we'll be in great shape.
If people want to find out more about you, where should they go? What should they do?
You can find me all over the internet at Ashley V. Robinson. The V is very important because Ashley Robinson is a WNBA player. I do not want to fight for SEO. You can also find our podcast, Geek History Lesson, at geekhistorylesson.com. We have 277 episodes out so far. So if you want to learn character histories, we have got your back. And a bunch of stuff that I'm under NDAs and I can't tell you about.
I know I have brought this up previously since it's one of the driving forces of this show, but being a female is tough sometimes. Being a female leader in an industry normally dominated by men is something that should be really recognized and celebrated. Ashley's worked really hard to become a respected and knowledgeable person in the world of Trek, comics, and the world of geek in general. I urge you to follow Ashley on all her previously mentioned social platforms and show her you too think she's a femme fatale. Join me next week as I start a new series titled Funny Girls, where I'll review some interviews from past legends and current great female comics. Bye!
That was Femme Fatale's The Edited Interview Entry from Kristen. On the next episode, we'll check in with Gabriel, and later on in the week, we'll see how Bobby's doing with the challenge. Then it's our Judging and Elimination episode, where a player will be crowned the winner for the week, and another one will leave the challenge. It's all coming up on America's Next Top Podcaster.